scripture reading recording will be from Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. That's Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. Good to see each and every one of you. We're always thankful for the opportunity we have to worship God in spirit and in truth. Certainly glad that Jerry and Beth are with us. And Jerry and Beth are actually moving, so they're on the look for some boxes. So if you know where someone can get some boxes or you have some boxes, they're in the look for some. So if you have a connection there as you're introducing yourself to Jerry and Beth, certainly if you know anything about boxes, let them know. You know, as we were looking in the Bible class this morning, I won't connect all the morning lessons to evangelism over the next 8 weeks, but I think appropriately as we start, we should consider it at least this morning. But next week, we're going to look at how Jesus handled questions. And I think that's very effective because I don't know if we always handle questions the way that Jesus did, and perhaps we'd be more effective if we handled questions the way that Jesus did. And we'll be looking at that next week. But I think the mindset is can we be better? And that is the question I've asked throughout my life. And it's a question that I keep coming back to because we can always be better. We can always be a little bit better. And that is something that I always think about. You know, we are not going to be perfect on this plane of life, but I think God is looking for that effort. Now we're giving it our best shot. And our best shot might end us in a place that we have not been. A place that we would not see ourselves in. Doing things that we never expected to do for the Lord. Certainly I found myself in that situation many times. Say, how did I get here? Because God brought me here through His Word. Certainly we're going to be thinking about evangelism. Certainly we encourage you to come to our Sunday Bible class. For the next 7 weeks we're going to be looking at the Back to the Bible series. We want to build individuals' confidence so that they would be willing to do that study with someone else if the opportunity presented itself. And I believe those opportunities will present themselves. I didn't get a focus on it as long as I wanted to, but in Acts chapter 8, when you look at Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, and you look there in verses 30 and following as we see that interaction, we have the eunuch ask a question. He says to Philip, "Can you guide me? Can you guide me?" And I believe that all of us will have an opportunity in our lives where somebody will ask us a very similar question. Can you guide me? Can you guide me? Can you explain this? Can you help me with this? Can you explain what the church is all about, the kingdom? Can you explain about Jesus Christ? And I think we will have those opportunities. But you know, we all have something in common here, you know, when we think about us as Christians, is somebody at some time in our lives took time to share with us the gospel. Somebody took effort to sit down, open up the scriptures, and teach. And a lot of times it's not one person. And I understand that. As we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we see that there is a process. Then there's this idea, certainly, that multiple people are involved when somebody becomes a New Testament Christian. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 and following, it says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase, so that neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. There's an evangelism process, and a lot of people are involved in individuals becoming Christians, and also Christians as they grow throughout their lives. It's a process. It's growth. And certainly there are a lot of people involved there. You know, I think about my parents, who certainly worked on me as I was growing up, but I also think about both my grandmothers. Both my grandmothers were very concerned about me, and they were quite persistent. I'll leave it at that. Both my grandmothers loved me very much. And as I was aging and people started looking, they said, you know what, Kyle? You know, maybe you should think about this. Do you have some questions? that you need answering. I think about my grandparents. I think about my parents. I think about Dan Kessinger. He probably spent more time in Bible study than probably any person should, even after I became a Christian. And actually, I'm very thankful for that time. I remember after Sunday morning service, Sunday evening service, rather, and after Wednesday night, there was a period after I became a Christian, I would have 2 questions written on a piece of paper that we would study probably an hour or two, sometimes after services. I had a lot of questions. Just because you become a Christian doesn't mean you have all your questions answered. It means that you are committed to really start the process, and you understand a basic understanding of the kingdom, but still there's a lot more to know. But we're all here as Christians because somebody took the time. And the question is will we take the time for someone else? To try to take that time and study with them, to lead them to Christ. You know, there's people without their time, we realize that we would perhaps not be Christians. Someone took the time to teach the gospel. Perhaps you were a co-worker. Perhaps you were a classmate. Somebody that reached out and started the process of learning about Jesus and his plan of salvation. And I want you to understand that becoming a New Testament Christian, the gospel call is for all. And becoming New Testament Christians, being pardoned of our sins, that is not something that we can keep to ourselves. Jesus has pardoned us of our sins. We have the opportunity, the chance at eternal life. Jesus and his forgiveness on judgment day when we're standing before the judge and the judge says, have you broken the law? You know what? To be honest, we're going to have to say yes. Well, why would we have to say yes? Well, in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4, it says sin is a transgression of the law. Sin is a transgression of the law. Well, whose law? God's law. Have you broken God's law in your life? In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, it says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. When we walk into the courtroom of God and God says, have you sinned? If we're honest, we're going to say yes. And you know what? There's a high price for sin. There's a high price for breaking God's law. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, it says, for the wages of sin is death. So we're in quite a predicament. We're in the courtroom. God says, have you sinned? If we're honest, have you broken God's law? At some point, we have. Is there some point in your life you knew to do good? You knew to do right and you did it? I think in James it says, him who knows to do good and does not, to him that is sin. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I believe it's Romans chapter 3 and verse 10 that says, there is none righteous, no, not one. We realize that we sinned. We realize that this sin has a penalty, the penalty of death. And you know what? Jesus walks into the courtroom and says, I will pay that fine. I will die for you. And that's what he did. He died for each and every one of us to pay our fine. And certainly we see the process of somebody becoming a New Testament Christian and our sins being washed away. What a blessing that is, that we can stand justified, not because of ourselves, but because Jesus said, I'll pay that fine for them. What a beautiful thing. You think about that, you become a New Testament Christian, can we keep that to ourselves? You understand you have a unique ripple in this world. There are people that you will touch that I will not touch unless that you get them here. And there's people, which I think there's something to talk about. We just got through our gospel meeting. But there's a lot of people that need to become Christians before they even make it to this building. Because it's kind of a challenge to get them to the building. Even at our gospel meeting, you know, certainly there was a time where there was less entertainment often, if I say that. And I think gospel meetings are very popular. And I think a lot of us understand the gospel meetings that we have now are not the gospel meetings of old. There's a lot of competition out there, and we really need to be making our way out there. There's a lot of conversions, I believe, that will happen before people step into the church building. And I think that's a paradigm shift, is that we have to go and study in people's homes. We've got to go and study with our friends and neighbors. We've got to invite people over to our house and say, hey, we'd love to study the Bible. We might not get them to services until they're a Christian. It's a paradigm shift. I tell you, the best way to win people to Christ is individual study. It's not me preaching. It really is not. I'm not saying my preaching can't get people's attention. I'm not saying that my preaching doesn't have the gospel plan of salvation in it. But individual studies with people where they can look at the scriptures and say yes or no, or I think this or I think this as they read the scriptures is very important. Because a lot of times, when the preaching goes out, it seems it's in one ear and out the other. And I don't think it's just me. I think it's about everybody. You know, If you look at education and Ebenhoff's forgetting curve, Ebenhoff was a scientist, and he thought he would study himself. He studied nonsense words, and he did a study on himself to see how much he would forget over how much time. And after an hour, you forget about 80%. After 1 hour, you forget about 80%. So when you leave the building today, whatever I preached this morning, you forgot 80%. And I think that's true. Well, what's the solution to people forgetting stuff? You have to bring it up again and again and again. You have to remind. You have to go over. Really, much of preaching is reminding. We are Christians. Our sins have been forgiven. And God has blessed us with what? An opportunity at a new life, and an opportunity to live faithfully and serve the Lord and try to bring others to Christ. What an opportunity. And you have a unique ripple of people that you can touch. When we think about the Christians in the first century, I want to look at them and see what they were doing and what type of people they were. Number one, I believe the people of the first century, our brothers and sisters in Christ, they were on a mission. As our reading went in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, Jesus came and spoke to them saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." God, Jesus, sent his followers on a mission to evangelize the world. Jesus has died, he is resurrected, he's given that message to them. He's saying, "Hey, I'm going to want you to evangelize the world. I want you to preach to them about remission of sin." If you turn over to Luke chapter 24, Luke chapter 24, we're going to have a similar occurrence where we have God talking here, Jesus, and he's talking to them, and we see in these verses what he says. Luke chapter 24, verses 46 through 49. Jesus speaking, it says, "Then he said to them, 'Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem.'" So Jesus is God, he's resurrected, he's talking to his followers and says, "I want you to go out and I want you to preach remission of sin." What's remission of sins? It's forgiveness of sins. It's the taking away of sins. It's the covering of sins, if you will. He says, "I want my followers to preach remission of sins." And where is this going to start at? It tells us right there in the verse. It says, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary that Christ was to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." We have the starting point right here. God is telling his followers, "I want you to go into all the world. I want you to preach to everybody." Well, what are we going to preach? We're going to preach remission of sins. And where is it going to start at? It's going to start at Jerusalem. Well, let's go to Acts chapter 2 and see what happens. In Acts chapter 2, we have the apostles, we have the followers of Jesus here, and they have assembled at Jerusalem just as Jesus asked. In Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit falls upon them on the day of Pentecost, and we have Peter and the apostles, really Peter, preaching this message. Preaching about Jesus Christ and him crucified. And the lesson goes on, and we kind of get to the conclusion of this first lesson where in Jerusalem, remission of sins was to be preached. And you see, as it unfolds, as the lesson is wrapping up, if you will, although you could call it an interruption, but in verse 36 it says, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly," Acts chapter 2 and verse 36, "says, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Peter says, "You crucified Jesus. You killed Jesus." They hear that? Verse 37 says, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?' And Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins.'" Wait, Jesus said, "I want you to preach to the whole world about remission of sins." We see the first time that the gospel is preached by Peter, and we see he gets to the end of his lesson and says, "Be baptized for the remission of sins." question, did the apostles carry out the message that Jesus asked them to do? Did they go into all the world and preach the gospel? Well, they're starting right here at Jerusalem. These men were on a mission. And I believe Christians at this time, they were on a mission to get the gospel out. And we see in Acts chapter 2 that these individuals, as they're being baptized, they're added to the church. In verse 41, it says, then those who had gladly received the word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. In verse 41, it says that 3,000 souls were added to them. What were they being added to? These people that were being baptized for the remission of sins, what were they being added to? Verse 41, it says 3,000 souls were added to them. Look at verse 47. It says, praising God, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Remission of sins was free in Acts chapter 2. These men, I believe, were committed to this message. As we see the book of Acts unfold, we see the Lord's church, we see Christians on a mission. They are on a mission to evangelize, to spread the gospel, and we can look all throughout Acts. Acts is a great read, because so many things that we see in Acts, people in the religious world are not doing today. In fact, they run away from what they find in Acts. We looked at Acts chapter 8 this morning, if you turn over there. In Acts chapter 8, we've got Philip. Philip is preaching in Samaria. What is he preaching? What is he preaching? Acts chapter 8 and verse 12. We looked at this in the morning Bible class, but it probably needs to be emphasized at least one more time. It says, but when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God, the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. What was Philip preaching? He was preaching about Jesus Christ. He was preaching about the kingdom, which is the Lord's church. He's preaching about the church, God's saving vessel. In Ephesians, the Bible says that Christ is the Savior of the body. And in Ephesians chapter 1, we see that the body and the church are the same thing. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, it tells us that Jesus purchased the church with his own blood. Now in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, it's actually written to the elders. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, it says, therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. This is talking to the elders. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. When Philip preached, he preached about Jesus Christ and him crucified. He preached about the church which Jesus purchased with his own blood. He preached about the kingdom. And you know what? When you preach about Jesus Christ and you teach people about the kingdom, the church, you know what happens? They're baptized. Because they know that when they're baptized, their sins are remitted, the remission of sins. They are added to the church, as it says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41 and 47. People that are baptized are added to the church. And the church is God's saving vessel. Think about an ark. You've got to be on the ark. The church is God's saving vessel. He's the Savior of the body. He's the Savior of the church. He purchased the church with his own blood. That's his saving vessel. We need to be added to the church. And we see that that process in Acts chapter 2 is baptism. These individuals were on a mission. Look at Acts chapter 5, verses 40 through 42. These individuals were committed. They said, Jesus told us to go into all the world and tell people about remission of sins, to preach the gospel. And they were on that mission. Acts chapter 5, verses 40 and 42. And it says, and daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. What was the New Testament church involved in? They were involved in evangelism. They were involved in trying to reach the law. Where are they trying to reach the law? Does it say the church building? Does it say the church building there in Acts chapter 5, verses 40 and 42? It says, where were they teaching people? It says they were teaching people in the temple. The temple, that's old religion. They're going to other people's establishments, and they're trying to teach people. And then it also says, in every house. You know, the most successful Bible studies that I've had have been in my house. I tell you, it's hard for Sarah and I to sometimes have a Bible study at our house, because I tell you what happens. Somebody's on kid duty. So somebody's in kid duty running around with the kids, and then somebody's at the kitchen table with the Bible open and doing a study. But the most successful Bible studies I have had been at my house or at someone else's house. most successful Bible studies have not been when I'm up here preaching. The most successful Bible studies happen at people's homes. And the New Testament church was willing to study at people's homes. Are you willing to study at someone's home? Say, yeah, if I got the opportunity. Well, we need to ask for some opportunities, don't we? I'd love to study with you. You know what? Why don't you come over to my house? We'll have a meal, and we'll study afterwards. You mind if I come over to your house and we have a Bible study? I'd love to do a Bible study. In fact, the only time I turn down Bible study is when I've got other studies going on. It's kind of like when I was preaching. I was preaching, and I got to the point where I was preaching every Sunday, and then somebody called me, and they said, Kyle, we'd like you to sub in here at this Ohio congregation. Can you come? I said, sorry, I'm already preaching somewhere. But about the only time I turn down Bible study is when I've got other Bible studies going on. I've got a couple going on right now. I'd love to get as many as I can. The New Testament church, these were individuals on a mission. They were studying in the temple. They were studying in people's homes. And as we look at the Great Commission, I believe we have an obligation and a duty to do so. As we look at Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, it says, for those that by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. The solid food belongs to those who are full age, those who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised and discern between both good and evil. We need to be preparing ourselves for these opportunities. Because I believe, and maybe you've already had one of these opportunities, I believe you're going to have an Ethiopian eunuch moment. Well, what are you talking about, Ethiopian eunuch moment? The Ethiopian eunuch was in the chariot. What was he doing? He was reading his Bible. And you know what he said? He said, I don't really understand. I need somebody to guide me. I believe you're going to have an opportunity. In fact, as you reflect back on your life, you might have thought, you know what? I might have already had some of these opportunities. We need to be ready. We need to be ready for these opportunities. When somebody asks us to come up in the chariot, when somebody asks us to go into their home, when somebody asks us, say, I've got some questions, we want to be ready. As the New Testament church was ready. We look at Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18, verses 18 through 28, we see Priscilla and Aquila. They pull Apollos aside and do some correction and do some study there. We need to be ready to do some Bible study. And the men and women and the Christians of the New Testament, they were ready to do studies with individuals. And that's why we're taking 8 weeks. The elders have decided to take 8 weeks and say, let's make sure that we're all comfortable doing a Bible study with someone. Let's do some practice. Let's look at the Bible. Let's open it up together. Let's almost have a Bible study here at the building that we could duplicate with somebody else. We're going to be going 7 weeks that the elders have laid aside for us to sit down as a family and look through this study back to the Bible and get comfortable with it that we could do it with somebody else if the opportunity presented itself. Let's get back to the Bible. It's what our world needs. It's what our nation needs. Without the Bible, our nation will fail. Without the Bible, our families will fail. Without the Bible, our communities will fail. We need to get back to the Bible. We don't need Kyle's opinion. We don't need men's opinion. We just need the Bible. Book, chapter, and verse. And let's read it and understand it. And let's see what we would answer. The Bible is powerful enough to do that which it was designed to do. To cut people's hearts. If we can get people's Bibles open again, people can read the verse. They can read it for themselves. They can see whether they're doing what the Bible says. And that's why, in many ways, preaching, we are a vessel. My job is to take the Bible and give it to somebody. Let me tell you, I'm not a special cup. I've got bumps and bruises. I've got kind of all kinds of scratches. I'm not a perfect cup, but I can carry a perfect message. And I can get that to someone who needs it. The men and women, the Christians in the New Testament, they're willing to study anywhere, anytime. They were studying in their home. They were studying in the temple, wherever they had an opportunity. You know, when I think of these individuals, I admire how convicted they were. Because as they start preaching about Jesus Christ, they get a whole lot of opposition. In fact, they got so much opposition that they were arrested, and in fact, many times they were beat. And Acts chapter 4 was one of those occasions. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, the Bible reads, it says, "Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated men and untrained, they marveled, and they realized they had been with Jesus." You see, Peter and John in chapter 4 had been arrested. And in fact, as we look throughout the New Testament, many of God's followers were arrested for trying to preach and teach God's Word. They were arrested and beat because they were trying to teach and they were trying to preach God's Word. And when they arrested them and they kind of put them on trial and they started talking to these men, you know what they made the connection of? These are uneducated and untrained men. Well, Kyle, what's your point? Common people can spread the gospel. I do not put myself on a pedestal. I think it's one of the worst things that ever happened. It makes me sick to my stomach. I don't think the preacher should ever be put on the pedestal. You know what I am? I'm a Christian. That's what I am. That's what I've tried to be ever since I came out of the waters of baptism. I have tried to be a Christian. I've tried to be the best Christian I can be. I've tried to study the Bible and do the best that I can. Am I perfect? No. I've tried to do the best that I can to spread the gospel, to do those things that are good and right. I'm a common individual. From the banks of the Ohio River. Raised in a trailer with my parents and my siblings. I grew up fishing and hunting. Went to school. I'm a common person. We're all common. But we can carry the most special message there is. You understand that, don't you? In Acts chapter 4 and verse 20, they're being hard on the individuals that are trying to spread the gospel. And you know what they say in Acts chapter 4 and verse 20? It says, "So we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." When I look at them, not only were they mission-focused, but these were ordinary people. But they were ordinary people that were convicted, and they said, "We're not going to back down." Now here's my question. In the United States, where we are blessed with so many rights, so many rights that are not afforded in other countries, my question is, were the apostles, were the people in the New Testament more outspoken than we are today and we're protected by law? It's something to think about. It's something that I think about. Here we've got the New Testament Christians, they're spreading the gospel, and they say, "Stop spreading the gospel, we're going to beat you, we're going to kill you, we're going to put you in prison." And they said, "We can't but speak the things that we have seen and heard. You're not going to stop us." Brothers and sisters in Christ, we're in the great nation of the United States. It's not a perfect nation. It's got a lot of good things, certainly it's got some bad things. It's not a perfect nation. But when the laws of the land are in our favor, I'm not saying that we can't run into trouble. I think we will. But are we more outspoken when the laws are for us or against us? Something to think about. When I look at the New Testament, God sent them on a mission. And when I start looking at these individuals, these were common individuals. They were fishermen. Tax collectors. There were some doctors. It was a diversity of individuals that all came to the conclusion that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, that He rose from the dead, and they were committed as common individuals to spread the gospel. You know, as they went and traveled, many times they were rejected. They were rejected in many physical ways, and sometimes they were rejected, and sometimes individuals accepted. But see, our job is just to plant the seed. You know, I think of Acts chapter 20 and verse 27. Let me turn over there. Acts chapter 20 and verse 27. Certainly we have a lot of examples of individuals trying to preach the gospel. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 27, the Bible says this. It says, "For I have not come to declare to you the whole counsel of God." You think about that idea. Have we tried to get that message out to our friends and neighbors the way that we should? See, I'm always like, can I be better? And if I can be better, should I be better? We're not going to be perfect. But have we shunned to let people know all about the gospel? I believe everyone in our lives should have an outstanding invitation. What do you mean? I think everybody should know that they can call Kyle and he study the Bible. But I think that goes for every Christian. Are there people in your life that don't know that you're willing to study the Bible with them. Call me day or night. I will do the best I can. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I got four kids. Somebody called me the other day, I was changing the diaper. I got through with that diaper, and I called them. I did the best I could. Do people in your life have an outstanding invitation to stand in hell? To come and worship with us? Do they have an outstanding invitation to study the Bible? Because you know what? They're going to hit some bumpy things in their life, and they're going to say, you know what? I got some questions. I want some answers. I don't know about the Church of Christ. What's the Church of Christ all about? I got to study for you. You know what? I've got some questions. I'm going through some hard times. I've got the sickness that's in my family. I'm thinking about death. I've got some questions. I got to study for you. Are we willing to study with people? The New Testament church was. We looked that they were on a mission. We looked that they were common individuals. And one thing I want to leave you with is I believe the task we have in front of us is manageable. And some people might think, how is it manageable to spread the gospel to the whole world? I think it's manageable because Jesus is with us. I think Jesus knew exactly what he was telling them in Matthew chapter 28. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And certainly, when he's telling them to go and preach the gospel, he says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. If God is for us, who can be against us? Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. We have God's word. God's word is far more powerful than I can ever be. God's word will cut people's hearts. It's not me. It's God's word. When you hear about Jesus coming to this world to die in your place, so that you don't have to suffer the death penalty, when you hear that story, when you understand what God has done, and you see what God has said, it'll cut people's hearts. When we're called to the purpose of God, we can do some great things, not because we're great, but because God is great. Are we doing our job when it comes to evangelism? Don't forget, next week you've got some homework. I've got a card just like you. My wife's trying to figure out who my names are on here. And to be honest, I had to double this part because I got so many people going on right now. You need to think about some people. Think about some people you can extend an invitation to. If it was something like this, would you like to study the Bible? And you know what? You might not want to study the Bible right now. But can you do something for me? If you ever have a question, or you ever want to study the Bible, it would be my honor if I was your first call. I know you might not want to study the Bible today, but I want you to know I have an open invitation. Brothers and sisters in Christ, can we do better? Certainly, if you look at the gospel call, you see throughout Acts individuals that heard the word, believe, repent, confess, be baptized. If you have questions, if you would like to study, we'd love to study with you. If you need the prayers of the church, we'd love to help you as well. If you're subject to invitation, we ask you please come as we stand as we pray.